Good. There we go. So the third talk then about from lines written to Tara, and we've got to these lines. Her right hand in the gift bestowing gesture is a contemplation of the perfection of charity. Her left hand in the protection gesture is the guarding of all beings from terror. So it's maybe in these lines and the following ones that Nagarjuna begins to draw out more about the compassionate activity or that Tara represents. So we've heard about the wisdom aspects we've heard about seeing events as conditioned and empty, and we've heard about how our practice results in the accumulation of merit and knowledge, especially knowledge of how to proceed with our spiritual life. And we've heard about how to practice as if, which is how I suggested we might think about it. So that's when, though still in the arena of self, we can act as if our self-view has been dispelled. So as if our self-view has been dispelled. And the as-if approach to practice, I think, itself does help to dispel the underlying view. And we've also heard about Nagarjuna's clarity on all of this, and also he just pointed out the simple contemplation of Tara's outstretched hand. So there is a lot of his clarity and further reflections, but it's also just a pointing out. So maybe that pointing out is as valuable as anything. You know, the pointing out the hand, this hand that's stretched out, is the conventional truth that's moving out into the world. So he's just, in a way, pointing our attention to that. You know, how often, I mean, how far does our hand move in that direction towards beings? And we've got limits, and of course we've got limits. Having limits isn't, we're not to blame for having limits. But it's good to just reflect on what our limits are and, pay attention to them, take them into account. So there's that as-if practice. And, we did already in second talk a little bit about the mudras of Tara's hands, but maybe just one or two other things to add to that. This line then, there's a gift, he's pointing out the gift-bestowing gesture hand, this one, right hand, is the contemplation of the perfection of charity. So I thought that was interesting. It's interesting that contemplation is present, being indicated, along with the perfection of giving. So it's a contemplation of the perfection of giving, perfection of charity. So on one level, perfect giving is giving conjoined with or perfumed by perfect wisdom, isn't it? So maybe not a surprise that Nagarjuna's hinting at a contemplative, meditative side to perfect giving. So perhaps we could take that on our level of practicing giving by reflecting on what we find it easy to give and what's more difficult for us to give. So, and I suspect that by looking at that we'll find some indication of what we're attached to. So for example, I like my ideas to be acknowledged if I've a few nods around the room. I like my ideas to be acknowledged if I've been talking and then I hear someone else repeating them, the person I've talked to repeating them. I really like it to be acknowledged. Now there are some people whom I don't mind at all if they do that. They take an idea that, from me, from this arena of this self, and they take it further and they do that without mentioning where they got it from. There's some people I don't mind that at all. But more often than not, I do mind. I don't really particularly want that kind of acknowledgement for other things. I mean, if something material, help or money or something, I don't want the person to say, Kula Prabha gave me such and such. I'm embarrassed at that. But it's not the same when it comes to ideas. And I can rationalise it away. I can say, it's unprofessional not to acknowledge your sources. But really, it's just that I'm attached to my ideas. It's obviously, it's a way that I use to identify, you know, with my view of myself. My view of myself is identified with having ideas. And when I was thinking about this earlier, I thought, oh, well, I suppose now I think of it, I'm proud of being someone who has them, so I'm going to stop before it gets worse. But you see what I mean? It takes you, start that sort of reflection, it takes you into self-view, self-pride, self-love, self-conceit, all those, you know, those atmas, self-atmas of self, that are really deeply embedded in us. And so it's quite a simple place to start off, just a straightforward question. What is it that you have no bother at all being generous with? And what is it that just is that little bit more difficult or a lot more difficult? And that's going to indicate something about attachment. So, you know, I say I want to practice generosity, first of the six perfections on the Bodhisattva path, and then when I contemplate my attempts at giving, I'm led back into the arena of myself. It's a way of shedding light on this internal self view. Then, of Tara's other mudra, Nagarjuna says, it's the guarding of all beings from terror. So that's her left hand, it's held up in front of her chest, really about heart level, and palm outward. Maybe the first finger touches the thumb. Sometimes it's just palm outward. So he says that's a protection gesture. Held in the protection gesture is the guarding of all beings from terror. Now, I don't know about you, but if I contemplate this gesture, protection gesture, Apaya mudra, palm outward, I think it's about me. It's about me. It's connected with me. I think if I do that, that's about protecting me. It's about protecting fearlessness for myself. It's almost sometimes, and I'm not suggesting this is what the mudra is about, but sometimes that sort of gesture, you know, that sort of gesture, there's a bit of a warding off gesture in that. It's a bit of, you know, I'm very moved when I see the really great pieces of really great paintings that are of the Annunciation. You know, when the angel comes to announce to Mary that she's going to be the mother of the Son of God. And I find those paintings very, very moving. They touch me deeply. Now, it's sort of stripped of its Christian, you know, connotations. To me, what they're paintings of are, they're paintings of a woman in being touched by the transcendental. And I no doubt you could add in something about potential, but the fact that it's about being pregnant, but I don't even go that far. It's just about the angel and the woman. So they sort of reverberate in me, and I've seen some of the very, very good ones in Florence and Rome, and it's just about a woman in touch with the transcendental. Now, my friend Dharmottara, who's an art historian, has educated me about the various, well, mudras that are in those paintings, because if you look at a series of them, the Virgin Mary's hands are held differently. There's a series of gestures that she makes, and they are like the equivalent of a mudra. And and I suppose it indicates to the people, I mean, most of these paintings were painted from medieval times, and apparently then most people would have known just by looking at the painting what was being indicated by the hand gesture. So there's one that's like that. So it's quite reflective. She's just sitting like that, head a little bit down, and, you know, two fingers on her cheek, and just thinking, just quite reflective. And there's one that's a bit like that, which Dharmottara tells me is acceptance, receptivity and acceptance. That's when she's accepting it. It won't necessarily maybe make sense to us as meaning that, but that partly is what it meant as a gesture. But there's one that's like that. And the, now I can't remember who painted the one I'm thinking about, but her hands up, a bit like this this gesture, but it's a bit like warding off, and there's a bit of a sense of movement in the figure. It's just a bit like the angels here, and she's got a bit like warding off, warding off. So it's a basic protective response. And in that case, with those particular that particular painting, it's a bit of a warding off. I don't think, no, you could imagine if you were being told that. It would be like, but there's that sort of, I don't think, I can't do that. You know, so never mind, let's forget about the Christian aspects of it, but just think when we're in that position, it's just maybe we're just being asked to do a bit too much, or even we've asked a bit too much of ourselves. So it doesn't necessarily take that on board for ourselves. So all of this was coming to mind as I was just thinking about this line, her left hand in the protection gesture is the guarding of all beings from fear. So Tara's protection gesture, that's, I've told you a bit about mine, what it means to me, actually. But Tara's protection gesture is a gesture for others. That was what struck me about that line. It's not for herself. It's a protection, it's a gesture for the benefit of others. So this one, this right hand in the giving gesture, it's very obviously why that's a gesture for others. But this one's just a bit different, isn't it? It's drawn back, it's a bit more inward turned even, but it's still a gesture for others. And as I said yesterday, it is a particular gesture, because it's like this, with a finger touching, it's particularly associated with going for refuge. So, yeah, so that's something to take on board when contemplating the figure, that it's a gesture of protection, but it's for the benefit of others. And of course, if you remember, this left hand represents the ultimate truth as well. This is the truth that seen experiences and is touched by the emptiness of all beings and all events. And yet, and then the response is protection. A protection, a wish to protect. So that's, I think that's something to reflect on. All of that's to reflect on quite seriously for ourselves. So just to take stock a bit, in the introduction I did the other night, I talked about three possible doorways as connecting doorways to compassion, given that that's our theme for the retreat, connecting with compassion. Now, I said, I'm sure there are other possible doorways, but the ones I connect with myself are the doorway of seeing the suffering of beings, the doorway that sees the emptiness of beings, and the doorway of seeing the sameness of beings. So in contemplating Tara, Nagarjuna is very much contemplating the compassion that co-arises with the experience of seeing emptiness of beings, an experience, direct experience, presumably in him, of shunyata, that beings are empty of inherent selfhood, of thingness, and same for events. So he's very much contemplating the figure from that basis. And of course that is what she represents as a bodhisattva figure. For us, we are still in this arena of self. We can't emulate that depth of compassionate response. But I just want to say again, we can practice as if. The as if approach can come into effect when we practice seeing the suffering of beings. Everyone can see the suffering of beings. Not everyone can see the emptiness of beings, but we can all see the suffering of beings. So we can just bring that as-if approach to when we're spending some time reflecting on the suffering of beings. So when we do the Karana Bhavana, as we're about to. And Brahmavihara practices, I mean all of them, also involve an opening up to the sameness of beings. I mean, perhaps particularly in the final stage of those practices, but also in the neutral person stage. When to do the neutral person stage, you have to kind of drop... Well, first of all, you have to drop down through a level of just personal preference of like and dislike, because there isn't any particularly. So you've got to find another way of connecting. So you have to kind of drop down away from that, far deeper into ourselves. And I think what's helpful is to think of that in terms of reaching a sense of the sameness between me and this other human being, just because we're human. Or sometimes we talk about it in terms of a sense of solidarity with them, but it's based on sameness. Okay, so in doing these meditations and reflections, and we've got another, what must be 4 or 5, 6 days of doing them here, just bear in mind as if I could directly touch and be touched by the emptiness of beings. Practice as if I can see, I can, sort of seeing the suffering that arises just from the existence of self itself, just from the arena of self, suffering arises. Just because that's where we live, we cause ourselves suffering. Just practice as if seeing that suffering of that arena, great compassion arises. So just bearing that in mind. So of course, when we're actually practicing, what we're doing is just practicing seeing suffering. And to some extent, we can practice seeing sameness. But we can always just bear in mind, we can also add in as if we can be touched and touch the emptiness of beings. So when I got as far as thinking that this morning, it occurred to me that perhaps the going for refuge, this mudra, this left hand mudra, the going for refuge protection gesture, guards me from the arena of myself. But that's another way of putting it. So it's still about myself, but it's guarding me from the arena of myself. And if I were really out of that arena of myself, no doubt then it would become a gesture for other beings as well. Because by that point there would be no difference felt. So I'm going to finish there, except just read a verse from a poem by Kenneth White, which I use often on retreats, but particularly struck me as being relevant at the moment. Knowing now that the life at which I aim is a circumference, continually expanding through sympathy and understanding, rather than an exclusive centre of pure self-feeling, the whole I'm out for is centre plus circumference. And now the struggle at the centre is over, the circumference beckons from everywhere.